And what we'll do is we just imagine them as masses and springs. And so the simplest problem with masses and spring is one mass connected by one spring. And in this section, I will call the spring constant C, because K is usually used for spring constant, but K is going to be reserved in the whole course for K vector, K space. So the spring constant is now called C. And this differential equation has a solution that looks like that. So I take this solution, I put it in the differential equation, and I get then the relationship between the frequency and these parameters. So when you put this in, you get minus omega squared on this side, and then the exponential functions cancel away, and in the end you get that the frequency is the square root of the spring constant divided by the mass. Okay, so one of the things you notice is that I use a complex function to solve this problem. And you may be thinking, well, you could do this with sines and cosines. It wouldn't be so complicated. So why always this complex function? And it will turn out, especially in three dimensions, it's like with the Fourier series. It's mathematically convenient to work with these complex functions. And just at the end, I want to try to show how some kind of simulation about how you should think about complex functions. So if there is an oscillation, a real oscillation, like this blue ball, it's oscillating back and forth, what we can do is we can think about this as a motion in the complex plane where we only see a certain projection of this motion. So we see sinusoidal oscillations of the blue one, but we think about the red one going in a circle in the complex plane. It's like it's going in a circle in the complex plane, and we're looking at it on the edge. Then we only see the harmonic motion, the real motion, but it's really moving in a circle. And so what you have to do is you see harmonic motion in real space, you imagine circular motion in the complex plane, and you just imagine the imaginary parts. You don't really see it. And so this is this using a complex number to describe oscillations. And then it turns out that it's much easier to add amplitudes that stay constant. So the red one, the angle is changing, but the angle is changing just linearly. And the amplitude stays constant. It's much easier to add those together than it is to add the amplitudes of sines and cosines. So we use this complex representation for the motion. You can always go back if you have the complex one. You can just write it out using Euler's formula here to get the real part, and the real part is the motion that we will see. Okay, so I will stop, and we'll go on with phonons next time. Thank you.